Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Big Time Rush. Performing live in concert. Playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush. With special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets now at livenation.com.
Here we go, Hour 2, G-Bag Nation 105.3, The Fan. How all your Cowboys news coming up here at 3:20 right now. Woolchuck's NFL news of the day. Here he is, the Woolly Bully.
All right, tag deadline window. It is closed. No additions. The final tally, we've got two tags. T. Higgins, who was tagged at 26.2 mil, second year in a row by Cincinnati, and the Chiefs tagging their guard, Trey Smith, at 23.4 million. If you missed it, Cowboys did get a deal done with Osa Digizua to avoid the franchise tag. That's 4 years, $80 million. He's the 15th highest paid defensive tackle in football. Now, hell of a team-friendly deal there for the Cowboys. They also restructured CeeDee Lamb's contract to free up $20 million in cap space. And I saw somebody ask, CeeDee, why'd you do this? He said, I want to win, and it's going to take more than just myself. Todd Archer also noting that he would expect the restructure of Dak's contract to come this week or before the start of the league year. That would get the Cowboys another $36 to $37 million, depending on how much base they turn into a signing bonus. So the Cowboys certainly are able to free up a ton of cash. Is that, let's try and re-sign Micah Parsons? What mid-level guys can they go try and attract in free agency? Do they even want to get ahead of a deal possibly with Deron Bland? All of that could be on the table for the Cowboys. But I think the Osa deal overall, huge win. And I understand Brian's point of like, maybe the other players, you took less. Maybe you could have gotten $25 million on the open market, $27 million. But Osa wanted to be a Cowboy. And the Cowboys finally won a deal with an agent. I think this is a big-time victory all the way around.
Yeah, screw you, NFLPA. This is where I want to live. You don't have to go to Cleveland and spend the next 4 years losing in a miserable climate. I just wish the Cowboys could find more of these guys. We know by covering the draft how many players would like to be Cowboys, you know. True. So you have to deploy some sort of a fact-finding, crew, alliance out there amongst your players, because you can't tamper, you know, but you can talk with agents. You can figure out who are the guys that really want to be Cowboys and be willing to take a little bit less. And then go find them, because this would add up to be a ton. It's a huge blessing to get that kind of a player at a significant discount. Should be able to afford them another veteran or two. And I'm getting excited, Woolchuck, because of everything that they've said. They need to look at outside free agents. And Brian telling us they're looking at mid-level guys instead of bargain barrel guys now.
Yeah, it's a big step in the right direction.
Getting the vibes, that's the case. It's going to be more mid-level guys.
Yeah, because I think for a lot of Cowboy fans, you can say the right thing. We got to see it in the actions. And that's a great deal to get Osa locked up. That was a position of need. Eberflus clearly values that three tech, and he valued Osa Digizua. So to make that thing work, and it doesn't mean you're done there. I still would look to attack that through the draft with how rich this defensive tackle class is. You need more. I think when you've looked at the teams that have won Super Bowls here lately, specifically in your own division, they've got a rotation of guys that can go out there and get it done. I would still look to add more resources to defensive tackle, because that's been a really thin and a weak position for the Cowboys for a long, long time. Vikings are not going to be tagging Sam Darnold as we've had the tag window come and go. Two parties that are going to continue to work towards a deal. that's best for both sides. I thought this was a little surprising. Sam Darnold, Minnesota, still working towards possibly a short-term deal to keep him with the Vikings. I figured maybe he ends up moving on. The Raiders are a team that we've definitely heard need a quarterback. What happens with the Giants? I don't know. The Steelers could be a team of interest, but maybe keeping him in Minnesota still in the cards here, according to Ian Rappaport, as both sides will continue to discuss things over. That's interesting with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I would love it if Sam Darnold would go to the Giants. You know, I think that's the exact kind of player that you would hope all of your rivals would get. The kind of guy that you have to build a hell of a team around in order for them to have a great chance of contending. And even then, when they got to the playoffs, it got pretty ugly real quick.
It got really ugly. I mean, as long as he doesn't play the Rams or Lions, those were the only two teams he lost to this year. 0-4 against them. He's doing okay. Chase Daniel, he's got his podcast with Diana Rossini, Scoop City, on The Athletic. And this was after T. Higgins got the tag for the second consecutive year. And just from the player's perspective, how players feel about this franchise tag.
It really sucks for T. Higgins. If I'm T. Higgins right now, I'm not happy. And let me just explain. It doesn't suck that he's going to make $26 million. I just want to make sure people understand out there what the franchise tag is. It's a way to keep players away from getting to free agency. So T. Higgins obviously played on the franchise tag last year. The goal of playing is getting to free agency. So now T. Higgins is going into his sixth year and has yet to hit free agency, because if he hits free agency, he's going to get $30 million a year.
It hasn't appeared that this team is really willing to give him the money that he wants.
And it sucks for T. Higgins, because you know the Patriots or another organization out there is willing to give him that bag that Chase Daniels is talking about there. And the reports of Ja'Marr Chase, because they're trying to get Chase done, they're trying to get T. Higgins done, they're trying to get Trey Hendrickson done. The report is that they are still very far apart with Ja'Marr Chase, and I assume they're not even going to really try and get stuff going with T. Higgins until after they know the number for Ja'Marr Chase. It's just, it's kind of what we've always heard about Cincinnati. They don't really pay a lot of their guys, and right now, back-to-back tags for T. Higgins, he's at least going to be there one more year. The Patriots pivoted, and there was a report the Patriots have called the Eagles about A.J. Brown, trying to get him there. I mean, I put that out a couple weeks ago. You've got the relationship of him and Mike Vrabel together in Tennessee. Vrabel hated the trade of sending A.J. Brown to Philadelphia. New England is desperate for a wide receiver here, and if you're T. Higgins, you're looking around, it's like, what the hell is going on? I'm making $23.5 million on the tag. I could be making at least $30 million a year, and this team right now, I don't even know if I'm going to be here past this season, because they're showing no investment in me long term whatsoever.
You know, I think the biggest problem here is poor leadership in the NFL Players Association, or, you know, a great job by the NFL creating the haves and have nots, because you can't get them to vote as a collective for what is in the best interest of everybody.
True.
We have to draw a line in the sand, because the real working class, the guys who are going year to year and aren't going to generate generational wealth, they're going to retire and have to get right to work. They're the majority, and they're just willing to vote for whatever. Right. So the owners are like, Well, we kind of want this franchise tag. And 80% of your team is like, bro, we have to get to work. I can't miss any weeks. Yeah. Sure, we'll sign it. And the rich guys on the team are like, I can't believe you just screwed me over. And the poor guys are like, I can't believe you don't insist on raising the minimum salary. You got me over here playing for 800 grand while you're making 40 mil.
Sure.
Bleep you, buddy. So, you know, I think that the NFLPA has a real big challenge ahead of them. How do you get everybody on the same page and willing to vote for what's in everybody's best interest instead of just getting back after it as quickly as possible?
Yeah, is it like you just do 1 year of the franchise tag? You can't go 2 years and tag a player like that? Because Chase Daniel's right. Like, as a player, you're trying to get to free agency, maximize your earnings as much as you can. And T. Higgins has had years in his prime right now where he's not able to do that. And who knows what happens with Cincinnati. But this time last year, it was all of the running backs are getting together. They're having meetings. Can we fix the running back market? Well, Barkley's done it. Saquon Barkley just getting another huge payday with the Eagles, as they've made him the top paid back in the National Football League. Gave him a big time $41.2 million contract extension. That includes $36 million guaranteed at signing. First NFL running back getting more than 20 a year. He's got an ability to also earn an additional $15 million in incentive escalators this year. So Barkley getting it done for the running backs out there. I know guys like James Cook that are trying to get $15 million per year. They're loving seeing what Saquon Barkley is doing as the running back renaissance is alive and well right now.
So now he's just under contract for the next 2 years?
Yeah, and what they did was they keep pushing back that money. So they basically cut his cap hit for this year in half by giving him this extension.
Wow.
So he was set to make like $15 million against the cap, and now it's like eight something. So they've got more money right now to play with. In fact, here's Howie Roseman. He was asked about at the Combine about winning his second Super Bowl. How does it feel? Is it any different? A unique perspective here from Howie. Yeah.
Is this PG rated or PG-13?
Yeah, whatever you want.
So I'd say like the first one's almost like, can I say this, Bob? Yes, can we delete this? Is this live? You don't know what I'm saying?
This is the best part. You can be
it's,
you.
It's almost like the first time you have sex. You're so glad you had sex. It's not even the quality of it. The second time, it's like, wow, I could actually have fun and enjoy this. And so I would say, and Bob just had sex for his first time.
What? That's not AI Howie Roseman?
Nope, that's real Howie Roseman.
That's Howie.
That is Howie for you. The comparison of losing the V card and winning your first Super Bowl. I mean, I guess maybe there's something to it. I don't know. I've never been able to see my team win the Super Bowl.
Well, I guess that makes the Cowboys born again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. My gosh. That's quite the picture there from Howie Roseman. Rams, according to Sean McVay, were never close to a deal with Matthew Stafford. He said, I couldn't imagine that. That was never something that I felt ever got close. It was never something that I allowed my mind to go to, according to McVay. Now, the Giants did make a big push before he got that restructured deal, and they failed to land him. They were offering more money, and as Stafford said, thank you, but no thank you. But it is becoming very clear, according to Jordan Renan of ESPN, who covers the Giants, multiple league sources left their meetings with the Giants this week thinking a trade up for the number one pick with the Titans was likely. And in that scenario, they expect it to be Miami quarterback Cam Ward. So the Giants are going to be aggressive. They tried to do it to get a veteran in Matthew Stafford. Now they go and get their best, the best quarterback that they see in the draft in your own division. If the Giants go up and get Cam Ward, this could end up being where you're looking around. We'll see what happens with Cam Ward. But you got Jaden Daniels there in Washington. Hurts, who just won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Cam Ward, does he end up being a hit? And if you're the Cowboys, it's like, holy crap, all of a sudden this was a division we owned. We did have the best quarterback. Do we anymore? I don't know. I don't think so.
No, definitely don't. I think Cam Ward's the kind of player that has the potential to be special. He seems like he has it qualities, the moxie, the cannon, you know, the big playability.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the, you know, players
he's won everywhere he's been.
Sure has.
Yeah.
Incarnate Word, Washington State.
Yeah.
Then he does it at Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's been a program builder. Certainly, the leadership traits are off the charts for Cam Ward. That's everything you hear about him. And you mentioned it with the ability to extend plays, make something out of nothing. Him and Malik Nabers could be a very, very scary pairing there, much like we just got to see with Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin, and now they've added Debo. Cowboys have a lot of work to do from a talent department because this division could be getting much better very, very quickly. Jets have given Alan Lazard permission to seek a trade ahead of the Aaron Rodgers exit. Of course, he went there as part of the Rodgers deal, signed a four-year, $44 million deal in 2023. That one hasn't aged well. And we mentioned Devontae Adams getting cut a little bit earlier in the show. Adams has expressed a lot, like how much he loves CeeDee Lamb, even before he officially broke out, thought he was a top five wide receiver in the sport. I do like the pairing of Devontae Adams as a true X with CeeDee. I think if you signed a Cooper Kupp, which we heard reports, like if the number's right, the Cowboys could be interested. Cowboys do a lot with CeeDee that Cooper Kupp's done with the Rams, moving him around, putting him in the slot. I think Adams would be a better fit overall
the
than
X.
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
The big body,
the
right?
The big body, catch the slants, yeah.
That's what I like there.
Yep.
Rams are in the process of sending an offensive lineman, Jonah Jackson, to the Bears in exchange
for... Sixth round pick,
yeah. That, the trade can't be processed until March 12th, which will be the league year, but... There you got the Bears adding themselves another offensive lineman. And I guess after signing Alaric Jackson, their new left tackle to an extension, Rams just weren't going to be able to pay Jonah Jackson. So you don't think of the Rams being able to really give up offensive linemen, but here's one that's going to Chicago now, try and protect Caleb Williams over there.
I tell you what, they identify their team They're able to, you know, they don't make mistakes on their team. If they feel like that, hey, they're not going to be able to have a guy like you just said, they'll move on, cut a guy. They don't care. Trade for a guy. They don't care. You know, that's team building right there. They do not care about the ramifications of it.
Les needs a hell of a job.
Yep,
he really has.
Good guy.
Big bummer of a news. In fact, this is why Eric's had to take off today. He's in mourning, but we're not going to get the Chapel Bill Hard Knocks, guys.
What?
Yeah, it fell through. As the Tar Heels won't be featured on Bill Belichick's inaugural season.
No wonder Lombardi didn't answer me back about it.
Yeah, they had discussions, did NFL Films, about appearing on Hard Knocks, but unfortunately they were not close on a deal. Yeah, the contract hadn't been struck yet, and I suppose North Carolina is no longer interested in doing this. So I don't think that they're even going to have the offseason. They'll just do the training camp and the in-season Hard Knocks. But big bummer, man, because I think this would have been a lot of fun to see Michael Lombardi.
Yeah, I think Mike and them probably now I know why he didn't answer me back. Because I reached out saying, Hard Knocks? ? And he didn't ever answer. But
no, Brian.
They were probably thinking about that money that they were probably going to take that money and earmark it for some of their NIL stuff.
Sure.
And they probably asked for a lot, and folks said, no, nah, we're not going
to
do that.
I think it would have been great for recruiting. I really do. That would have been just a blast to see kind of how Bill Belichick is trying to do the college deal. But
I think his girlfriend would have been the star of it.
She probably would have wanted to be the – she seems hanging like around, she's not shying away from the spotlight.
Hanging around the office a lot, you know.
Yeah, she'd be the new Herbie's dog over there, where it's like Eric will start complaining about, what is she doing getting all this screen time? She's the new Taylor Swifter of college football. 49ers willing to listen to trades for just about anyone, according to Shefty earlier today on Pat McAfee's show. They're willing to take on Brandon Ayuk's contract. Yeah, maybe Trent Williams is a guy that they'd be willing to give up. Bosa, Fred Warner, can I call you in about Fred Warner
sure.
Maybe? Could that be somebody? And I guess Dre Greenlaw, they've offered like a one-year prove-it deal too. Yeah. If you're Dre Greenlaw, it's like kick rocks, guys. Yeah. Prove it.
Yeah.
I came back and played a game for you and kicked ass. What do you need me to prove for you? Yeah. Go out there and get your money somewhere else, Dre Greenlaw. That's what I would say.
Dallas Cowboys be nice.
Finally, we got some new Mocky Mocks, and Jordan Reed and our buddy Dane Brugler had the Cowboys both taking Teteroa McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona, 12th overall. Jordan Reed had a little bit more stamina on his mock. He went to the second round on this, and at 44, he's got the Cowboys taking Quinshon Judkins, running back at Ohio State. If that ends up being the first two picks, I'd be a happy man, Brian.
Yeah, that would be happy about that.
No doubt about it. We'll get more Cowboys stuff for you coming up on the other side, jumping into the C-note, but a Mavs question in light of the Kyrie Irving injury, what is at stake? If they do, in fact, miss the playoffs altogether, no playoff, no play-in, what could happen then? It's coming up next. Then Cowboys news here. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan. Here we go, Nation. Okay, it's time now for the C-Note. First of all, a Mavs question reflecting on the most unbelievable but at the same time very believable Mavericks development last night. The news confirmed earlier today, Kyrie Irving torn ACL, out for the year. I'm hoping he could be back by Thanksgiving. That's 8.5 months. Maybe the new year is more realistic. I don't know about you, but I do want to ask you, what do you think is on the line here? If they miss the playoffs, Lakers go on a big run. I think we're already in a must-fire Nico Harrison situation because things have gotten so bad, you need a fresh start. But Tim McMahon had an interesting thought on that today on ESPN. I'll pass along to you, and then maybe we'll take your thoughts. Then we'll dig into this Cowboys news. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels, 214 or 817-33.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. weather from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
33333 Franklin. Franklin, never an out-of-pocket cost. Only get paid when you win. Go to Car and Truck Wreck Attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, failure to make the playoffs, especially if the Lakers go on a run, writes McMahon, could create this sort of apathy Mavs fans have not felt since the 90s when the franchise was a league laughing stock. New team governor Patrick Dumont has voiced strong support of GM Nico Harrison, tuning out the frequent fire Nico cries from fans. Side note, he does look like the Mark Davis of the NBA, doesn't he? Now that I'm getting a bigger look at Patrick Dumont here with his haircut and his sort of frumpy-dumpy look.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy could not pull anything out of a nightclub, could he? There's just no way. Unless he pulls a Collinsworth and is walking around with $100 bills hanging out of his pocket. Maybe then. Maybe. But, I mean, this guy looks kind of pathetic.
Isn't he married to a daughter of a billionaire?
He pulled it off somehow. That's congrats, what I'm saying. Congrats for that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He must have in those circles probably introduced to her.
Yeah.
He didn't go up there and pull that himself. No,
I don't
somebody,
think so.
Yeah, no.
He's not a Riz guy.
Yeah. He might
let me introduce you to my friend. He got to work.
He might have the Riz. You never know.
Hell no.
I would be surprised.
he's a billionaire now.
He is? Yeah.
He's a billionaire.
And I guess that gives you some sort of confidence and an air about yourself that maybe someone would find attractive. Yeah. Yes.
Who's her guy?
Sits down. Are they booing at me? They're not booing me, right?
Yeah.
There's no way they're booing me.
You're talking to me, bro.
But yeah, you know, I do feel like maybe for the first time since I've been covering the Mavs, Mavericks fans know how it feel, or I felt, when Greg Oden and Brandon Roy were injured with career-ending situations in back-to-back years. Like this feeling of despondency, like no way the entire sports world must be conspiring to make my life miserable right now, because that's what it's on par with. Like there are fan bases, there are entire sports cities that never have to experience like this ever in their lifetime. You know, that's how big of a mistake it was. So, you know, I don't think just firing Nico would do it. I think you'd also have to look at, you know, finding a different governor, somebody the fans can trust. And then you're going to need a lot of time. Like, we're not even close to rock bottom. We're just beginning the descent. At least when healthy, it's still a playoff team and somewhat of a competitor. But over the next 2 to 5 years, I think you're going to see rock bottom. And then maybe only then will Dumont and Harrison realize what they've done to this town, Brian.
No, I was just sitting there thinking of how at one time that we were so positive about this team, and now we're just at the end of it, right?
Yeah, it's been 5 weeks ago. It was a paradise. Yeah. It's like, hopefully you get Luka back. It's going to be okay.
We're contenders, baby, for the foreseeable future.
We're fine.
I mean, the biggest concern was, is Kyrie Irving going to stay healthy into his mid-30s?
Mm-hmm.
But now,
I think we were more worried about, would Kyrie do something to piss somebody off?
Oh, not me. No. I wasn't worried about that.
You really weren't?
No. I don't know, you know, why that happened.
I know, I don't either.
I figure he learned from it. He's been
nothing but perfect.
Yeah. It's worked out great with the Mavs. That's what I'm saying.
You just kind of, I mean, that people who are NBA insiders, that's like, well, why would Dallas do this? You know.
Yeah, when they got him, I mean, it was incredible. Because
the backlash.
Everything went perfect for over 2 years until this injury and you know, very unfortunate torn ACL, but it could be predictable. You're playing him over 40 minutes a night. He hasn't been the most reliable player. Had two other injuries on that knee earlier in his career. So, I mean, the concern now has to be how close to what we just saw is he going to come back to? Is this the injury that sort of steers him in a direction of losing that quickness and that explosion that's made him so dangerous? Osa 4-20 for the Cowboys. Congrats to both parties for getting that deal done. To me, tells the truth on why it's so hard for them to get some deals done early, because dang, they try to drive a hard bargain that is very team friendly. This one, Trayvon Diggs. I guess you would throw Jalen Smith in there, even though it ended up being a bad deal.
Caught an agent they could work with, too.
Yeah, you know, I guess agents they can work with. Yeah,
that to me, if you're starting to talk about deals and how deals get done, your relationship with an agent might be the most important thing.
And the agent's flexibility. Yeah. Like, some agents would be like, no, we're not signing for less than the top market value.
I'm sure that
they're very convincing to the player.
I'm sure there's people that are telling this guy that you signed a terrible deal.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not, for Osa, it's the right deal for him. But I'm sure there's people in the agent world are like, why would you even sign that deal? You could have gotten $27 million a year.
If I'm the Cowboys, I'm looking up all of his players in that agency and trying to figure out how many want to be Cowboys.
Well, what do we talk about in baseball with the agent who was our guy Scott Boras? Like nobody wants to deal with him because of how difficult it is.
And what those guys do is they attract the players that aren't going to settle for anything less.
Right.
You know, so you want to go over to an agency where they see the lifestyle, they appreciate the brand of being with the Cowboys for your career and, you know, the added incentives of being here. And for some players, they want nothing to do with that, you know. And I think if the Cowboys want to play that hand, like it's special to be with the Cowboys, it'd be advantageous to go seek out the players who share that sort of vision. Jerry's statement on Jimmy Johnson's retirement from broadcasting said some of the most exciting times in his life were shared with Jimmy, the college national championship. The two Super Bowls, wished him well in his fourth quarter of life, and ended it with, "You will always be a winner." Which
not a cowboy. A winner. You always won't be a cowboy. You'll be a winner.
Yeah, you'll be a winner, but not a cowboy.
Not a cowboy.
That's funny. Scott Linehan back in the league. He's with the Saints. Kellen Moore getting the band back together.
Scott had faith in Kellen Moore. So what's Kellen Moore going to do?
He's going to take care of him.
Going to hire a buddy.
Yeah,
good for him.
You know, I think Kellen Moore stepped into a situation in Philadelphia. I'm not even sure if I should give him credit for that, because really all he did was make that offense more conservative, tick off A.J. Brown. It was a winning formula, but with a great offensive line and Saquon Barkley, like, I mean, what is tangible that would make you feel like Kellen Moore had anything to do with that Super Bowl? I don't think he did. I think he was free rolling with the greatest roster. And you actually made the quarterback significantly less productive.
Yeah. I think the thing that made him... the conservative part, because I wonder, was it basically the same offense the year before with the first-year coordinator that didn't work out? Didn't have the runner, right?
Now, they ran the ball much better, no doubt about that.
This year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't...
I think he actually, with him and Saquon Barkley, that's what made their team better.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley
definitely did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the year before, it's kind of the same.
Yeah.
Cast of characters, but they go nowhere.
I mean, what you had is you cut down your picks by 10 from 15 to 5.
Yeah, don't let them throw the ball as much. Yeah,
you end up with almost 1,000 less yards, 6 less passing touchdowns, but a more efficient offense in the end. You know, maybe there's something to be said for that. Like, but it was funny because when Mike McCarthy was here, he was talking about a Kellen Moore that was intent on trying to set records every time they snapped the ball.
Yeah, they hated each other.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you want to run the ball.
Seriously, Mike did not want to learn Kellen Moore's offense. That's the problem. Mike didn't want to. He just didn't want to learn it. He didn't want to try and say, well, hey, what? How are you doing this? Oh, that's interesting. Well, can we expand on this? Yeah. He didn't want to learn. And then, so he gets sideways, and Kellen Moore is not going to fight him. You think Kellen Moore is going to fight anybody?
No.
It's okay, man. Hey, I'll just leave. Don't worry about
it. No, Elling's not going to fight anybody.
No, he's not. I mean, if you're an OC and you're like, bro, let me do my job here. We could move the ball. We have moved the ball. You know, if you want to learn, let me teach you how this is done. Mike, no, I've got all the answers. I'm a Super Bowl winning head coach.
Look at my ring.
Yeah. I get you fired, bro.
Yeah, there's a lot of inconsistencies littered through there because, I mean, the first half of this season, it was screaming the Cowboys should have run the ball more and given it to Rico, and they were doing things that really cost them opportunities to win games. Do you guys have a good idea right now of which quarterbacks you think the Cowboys are looking at coming out of the combine? Is it the guy at Syracuse? Is it Oregon?
McCord. Yeah. I think Kyle McCord will probably be off the board before there. I mean, I would assume they're not going to take a quarterback until maybe the fifth round.
Yeah.
And so I do think, like, could a Quinn Ewers be in play for that? I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense to me, a Quinn Ewers being an option there. But I think Tyler Shug of Louisville.
I was wondering how you said that name, that Shug?
Yeah, it's, yes. And
looks like Shuff.
It looks like it's Shaug or S-H-O-U-G-E, but it's Shug.
Okay, Shug.
He was at Oregon, at Tech, and then finally just had a good year where he stayed healthy at Louisville. And the dude's got all the prototypical size, and he can spin it. But I don't know what the hell the NFL's doing reaching on that kid as the number three quarterback, personally.
I kinda,
he can't stay healthy.
I wonder with Ewers, if they draft him, is Jerry going to stand up there and say, well, Mike McCarthy was working with him. We got a great recommendation from Mike.
I would not be surprised.
Please don't do that. Whatever you do, please don't stand up there and say that.
How about what Mina Kimes stood up there and said about Micah Parsons' contract and extending the All-Pro?
Pay the edge and add a little more?
Yeah, you take the top edge contract, then you add some money. Boom, done. Yeah. She is hilarious. I think she's right, but in light of the OSA, what do you think the Cowboys are offering right now? Do you think they're actually offering to make him the highest paid edge, or you think they're saying, well, this is a couple of years early, and you're going to benefit greatly? Look at this podcast you got from Bleacher Report. Do you think you'd be the podcast guy if you were any other team's edge? No, sir. So how much are you getting? I mean, that's
podcasts will pay you, but I don't know if it'll pay you that well.
No. But the combination of the podcast, the visibility, that could grow into an empire, other endorsement opportunity. Yeah. I mean, that's how the Cowboys are going to negotiate.
He's going to buy Bleacher Report is what he's going to do.
He probably could by the time he's done.
Bet you he does.
I mean, they've at least got to try and call his bluff, right? He did say he'd take less.
Yeah.
You at least have to say, well, you did say this. I mean, are we doing this
David,
or no?
Is he got David Mulligeller? Mulligetta?
Yeah, David Mulligetta is an agent that's not going to let you take less.
Good luck with that one.
Okay, Tim Cato's coming up at 4:20. We'll talk with the Mavs, the reporter, insider, about everything that's going on. Will they tank? I think that's got to be the top question right now. You just pulled the plug, Anthony Davis, Derek Lively with a hairline fracture in the ankle. We're done there. We're done with Davis. I'm trying to figure out a way to get P.J. Washington out of here. And then if you could do that, I could see them running the table 0-20 from here and end up with the 7th or 8th spot in the draft lottery. It's time for Krusty's Corner, though, Brian. Where are you taking us today, buddy?
Yes. What positions do you think you can double dip at in this draft? We'll do that next.
Lucius, thank you, sir. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Tim Cato now 35 minutes away. He's going to join us 4:20. Ryan?
Thank you very much, General, and thank you very much to Reliant as well. Tolo, I believe, Matt Thomas asked me this question to start the day, and I want to ask you guys this question. Because we brought up about Cleveland trying to trade back into the draft at 29.
We're talking trades?
Matt Thomas asks,
okay, yeah,
if Cleveland wants to do that and they take Hunter at 2 and Sanders is there at 12, would you be willing to give up 12 for Myles Garrett so they can go ahead and draft Hunter and Sanders?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been long on record with that one. There's not a player at 12 that's going to make more of an immediate impact than Myles Garrett is. and you have him and Micah Parsons. Now, you're going to have to pay Myles Garrett. The Cowboys are going to have to be willing to do that. But to have two of the top three defensive players in all of football on your team, goodness gracious, that's incredible.
He doesn't miss games, does he?
No.
Myles Garrett.
No, he's been pretty darn healthy throughout his career, and he plays through injury.
Yeah, I'd love it. You know, I think we'll talk a little bit later on about how the Eagles are still really the only team in the NFL trying to win a Super Bowl really hard every year. I think it's easier than ever to win a Super Bowl if you are just willing to spend more future dollars to pay guys now. That's what they just did. They were like, actually, you can buy a Super Bowl. Watch us do it. And while every team is worried about, well, what's our cap going to look like in 3 to 5 years? They're essentially making a dynasty while everybody's worrying about managing the cap. So, yes, if I was in charge right now, Brian, after 30 years, I would do that pick for Myles Garrett. I would go out and sign an offensive tackle. I would sign Devontae Adams. Then I would hope we had a hell of a draft. And whatever holes that I had in early October, I'm trading next year's picks to get holes fixed. And we could easily go win the Super Bowl next year. This is so doable. But you have to be willing to put your future year's financial security at risk. That's all you got to do. And I think after just bleeding this fan base emotionally and financially for 3 decades, it's time to get on that train.
It's funny because I think I would do it too. And I would, and like you said, well, Chuck, it's one of those things where I get at 12. Yeah. I've got players I like. This guy,
you know
what
you're getting in Myles Garrett.
Yeah, you absolutely know.
And he can help you play different positions along the front for you. You want to kick him inside at times, you can do that. Yeah. I mean, the ways that they could get after the quarterback and then line up with him and Micah, it's really exciting to think about.
920 asked, maybe I missed it, but why do you think Shador falls? I mean, that's kind of the buzz coming out of the combine is, right?
Yeah,
the chances of him slipping out of the top five, and there could be a free fall.
Yeah, I think the reason that why there would be that maybe some people are turned off by the chances to interview. Maybe they did not think that the things that they asked him to do, and I'm not saying it's a smarts thing or anything like that, but some guys have really good recall. Some are able to, when you put them on a board, they're able to show you like, okay, I totally get this. It's a simple scheme concept. Draw it for us. You know, walk us through. You have this check. Walk us through this check. You know, and if you're able to, some, you know, guys like Andrew Luck, and I know Andrew Luck is a different, but he's one of the rare ones where I remember watching Gruden put him on a board. And he was like, Gruden couldn't ask him a question that he wouldn't know the answer to. You know, and you're sitting, okay, well, that's why guy's number one overall. Talent, smarts, as far as the scheme stuff.
But Myles Garrett plus Micah Parsons, you would make everybody on your defense so much better at their jobs. Absolutely. Because the entire offense has to worry about those guys.
Yeah.
Every job is significantly easier now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You don't have to load up in the secondary. So, yeah, I think that's a no-brainer if it's possible.
All right. I mentioned the double dip possibilities. And, Wolchek, I can use your help on this one, too, as I always can. And this is again, from Pro Football Focus. And they're kind of saying that not every first-round pick will pan out. Not every team will have the same hit rate as their top selections. But some teams will use multiple early selections to attack positions of need. Over the past 3 years, 18 of the 32 NFL teams have used 2 selections in the top 4 rounds on the same position. So how often do teams double dip at a position, and how successful has it been for them, and what positions could we see targeted in the 2025 draft? So they're looking purely at the first 4 rounds where our teams are using the most premium selections to double dip. It's not saying that teams won't find success with players in the final 3 rounds of the draft, but rather these are the selections they will feel the strongest about because they fall in the first half of the draft, okay? Okay, there are 14 teams that have not double dipped in the past 3 drafts. Buffalo, Carolina, Cleveland, Dallas, Denver, Indianapolis, Vegas, Rams, Dolphins, Saints, Jets, Buccaneers, Titans, Commanders. Those 14 teams have not double dipped in the last 3 drafts.
Okay.
Okay. Teams that have double dipped over the past three drafts. And let me give you an example of that. There have been six times in these last 3 years. Well, excuse me, let me do this for you real quick. One team has double dipped every year in the last three drafts. Would you like to take a guess? They're an NFC team.
The Eagles?
No.
I knew the Eagles did last year.
Lions.
Close though, Dawson. It's the Packers. The Packers have double dipped the last three drafts.
Wow.
Is what they have. Okay. Six times teams have double dipped in the last two of the last 3 years in the draft. Arizona, Baltimore, Detroit, Houston, Jacksonville, New England have all double dipped in the second half of the draft. Okay. That leads us to what positions. Now, okay, according to these guys at Pro Football Focus, 18 of their 150 players on their big board, which is their stack, are interior defenders, with 13 of them ranking in the top 100. There are also 18 offensive tackles, but some of them are likely to kick inside at the next level. While the wide receiver class isn't as strong as previous years, there's still 17 wide receivers in the top 150 on the board. Okay? So they're saying that double dipping isn't a foolproof strategy. The Vikings and the Cardinals have parted ways with guys that they double dipped on. But on the high end, you can catch maybe the Eagles and land two stars at the position. So, and also you could have teams like Green Bay and Cincinnati. They've drafted players later that have outperformed the early pick. So, Wolchuk, on your boards, all right, let's go. I'll go on your board first, then I'll go on my board second, if you could.
Mm-hmm.
As you look at your board, where is the positions you feel like that the Cowboys, from their needs, and there's a lot of them, can double dip from?
Running back, no question, especially if they wait on taking a back.
I agree there.
Edge.
I agree there.
And defensive tackle.
I agree there. Okay. I've added on my board, I feel like that the Cowboys could double dip at wide receiver.
Okay.
If they wanted to. I feel like they could double dip at corner if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And I feel like they could double dip at offensive tackle if they wanted to. Now, they probably won't with the offensive tackle, but I know on my board it would be that way. Okay?
Yeah, there's a lot in the second and third. I mean, maybe even the fourth a little bit here. Your William and Mary kid's interesting.
Yeah. That would be Charles Grant from William and Mary. Okay. If you were to double dip, give me some names, if you could. Take your number one position, say you were double dip at running back.
Okay.
And give me a double dip that would be on your board using your first four rounds.
All right. So let's say we went for a running back in the second round. We got a Judkins.
Okay.
And then we went ahead and took a Samson from Tennessee.
Okay.
Samson's got some speed to him. They could complement each other nicely. Judkins, good all-around back, but lacks a little bit of juice.
Okay. So Judkins and Samson are your two guys. And you see, you would see Judkins as a second-round player.
Yes.
And then Samson is a third.
I think they'd have to take him in the third since they don't have a fourth.
Right. I agree with you. I like Samkins better, Samson better than Judkins.
You do? Okay.
On my board. And I have them both in the third round. So that would be, when you, the way you did it, I would be okay with that. What about at the edge position?
Edge, let's say, first round, let's say they went Jalen Walker.
Okay.
At 12. Is that okay? Because I know you've got him as a linebacker.
That's fine.
But then what about in the third round, they circle back and they take like Ivy from Ole Miss?
Okay. Okay, I like what you did there. I personally have Ivy in the fourth, but I understand. So that would be a second. That would be a first and a third for you then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What about a defensive tackle?
D tackle, you could go. I mean, do you want to go either direction? Like 2-3?
Because you're in a situation where you signed, re-signed Osa. So maybe you don't want to go the 3 first. So try and go a 1 and a 3 then.
Let's see if maybe you could pair like Norman Lott from Tennessee and then Alfred Collins from Texas.
Okay. I see what you did there. You took a 3 technique in Norman Lott, hyphenated name from Tennessee. Good player.
Yeah, talk about a pass rusher.
That and then Collins. So what you did for me then is you took a 3rd-round guy and then a 4th-round guy is what you did. But I don't disagree with what you're doing there. I wonder, though, the combination. I think those are the, if you ask me, the Cowboys, the potential double dip, I think Zach hit it with the running back, potentially with the edge, and potentially with the defensive tackle. But I'd also, would you think about the corner there?
Yeah, I think it might have to be they go corner in round one, unless maybe you get a Will Johnson slide.
Yeah.
Or do they check out Benjamin Morrison and like medically he's good to go? Could you get him at 44
right
in the 2nd round and then circle back and take, you know, man, the Cal kid's pretty good.
Williams.
I mean, do they like Amos from Ole Miss who just had a really good time? Do they take him in the 2nd round? They're probably not going to be able to wait on him in the 3rd. But yeah, I mean, you probably have to go 2-3, I think. I think you got to go 2nd and 3rd round back-to-back at corner if you really want to hit there.
If you really want to hit there. So to me, I would not, like I said, I would not be surprised if they do double dip in this. I think the draft is that deep in those positions that we talked about. And I think those would actually, you'd probably get better value than that in saying, instead of splitting up and saying, oh, we'll take this. You know, you could fix your defensive tackle spot in this draft with some of these kids that got right now.
I feel like, especially on a Fat Tuesday after all that double dip and talk, I could use a dilly bar.
Maybe a dip cone. Yeah, dip cone.
Maybe some ribs dipped in barbecue sauce.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I'm working up an appetite over here. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
It's brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Every day at 3:40, Krusty's Corner with the former NFL scout, Super Bowl champion, NFL executive Brian Broaddus. He'll lead up our draft coverage, which will be April 24th, 25th, 26th, I believe are the dates this year. Yep. Best draft coverage in the world. Okay, conversation with the Rangers pitcher who went away and came back maybe better than ever on the field and in the clubhouse with the Nosebleed Boys coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
One night, one goal, stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.